Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. We all remember the Australian bushfires that killed 173 people and wiped out over 700 homes in the state of Victoria earlier this year.
Couldn't get out of town, so we just went down to the roundabout down there and watched the town burn.
Main shopping street's gone, the post office, the supermarket.
Home after home gutted, and it's not known how many residents made it out alive. Police are going house to house looking for bodies.
This is the only photo album we could find. They did manage to go in and get a small box that contained my grandmother's bracelet.
At Kinglake, north of Melbourne, these blackened cars, signs of the chaos that unfolded when the fire front turned back on itself and on those fleeing the inferno.
Just hit us with no warning, no nothing. 5 minutes and everything was on fire, mate.
The radiant heat was awesome. And it was just like that. All gone.
It was like a freight train.
You couldn't fight it. I mean, you know, you just couldn't do that.
Many good people now lie dead. Many others lie injured.
Recently, Ryan Hutchins visited the Yarra Valley, one of the worst hit areas, to see how people were recovering. Yarra is well known worldwide for its wine, and many of those affected in the area not only had their lives and homes to fear for, but also their livelihood. Ryan talked to some small vineyard owners who shared their experiences and stories from the harrowing time.
This is Jim Viggers and his wife Diana.
First fire we saw was about 2 kilometres away, which was spotting from the Wandong Kilmore fire, and it was burning down Paul's Lane Creek, which is the creek just here. And I said to Diana, well, we're safe, you know, it's going to go down the creek and disappear. About a few minutes later, the fire had spotted in a number of places about 2 kilometres south of here and burnt about 200 metres into a property, and then the wind changed and it was here within 30 seconds.
They lost 79 of the 80-acre vineyard in the Melbourne bushfires.
I went out. I said to Dinah when the fire was still burning south, I'll go and get the old tractor, which had 400 litres of water on it, to fight the fire, because we were set up to fight the fire from the north with a pump, a petrol pump and fire hose on the swimming pool, but the fire hose wouldn't reach around the south. I got the tractor, drove about 80 metres, and the wind had changed and the fire was on me, just out there. And I jumped off the tractor, let it go, and ran, and I don't remember how I got through the fence or through the gate or whatever. I just let the tractor go. It ran into a tree and it burnt.
People say they should be precious things should be stored in steel chests and all the rest of it. Our tractor melted, and also I had lots of glass bottles stored. They just melted into a little globule. And Jim said that was...
It's about 1,000 degrees C.
This is what happened to Bob Curtis.
It came along Skyline Road and with an unbelievable force. There's a big mud brick house up there and the mud brick house burned. In that house there's a Canara heater which has been reduced to a molten ball of metal about the size of a basketball. And if you consider the job of a Canara heater, you can appreciate how hot that got. And had the wind not changed, probably the whole of the north of Melbourne would have been razed. But the wind changed and it swung around at the bottom of our road and came straight back at us. There was no power, so there's no water, there's no pumps. And we probably got about a minute and a half's warning that it was coming. So at the time we had 25 people here at Cellar Door having a birthday party. Diane went home because the sense that something was wrong was enormous, and Diane went home, ran the cattle and sheep down into the dam paddock and picked up the cat to bring back here. I went asked the guests to stay here help themselves to the wine while I went out and investigated a spot fire that happened about 400 to 500 metres down the road, and I wanted to see which way the wind was burning, so I jumped in the ute and went down there. Determined that it was burning away from us, so I was fairly happy with that. Came back to Steeles Creek Road and thought I'd better investigate a fire that I'd heard of was starting down near Sticks Winery in Glenview Road. I turned left to go down there and ran straight into the fire that was coming at us, and that was the warning we had. I just flames and smoke, and did a pretty rapid U-turn and raced back to home, told my son and his mate to get down to Cellar Door because we were never going to stop it. It was just coming too fast. As I drove out onto the road, the fire front was right beside the ute, and I was just covered in smoke. I couldn't see the bonnet of the ute. And I didn't. I just sat there for a second and thought, what next? And I thought, I'll just do a complete left-hand turn and I'll run into the bank beside the driveway, and then I can bounce off the bank and get down to cellar door driving by touch. So I started to do that and set a headlights in front of me. I pulled up alongside it, and it was a convoy of 10 cars that were about to head into the smoke and into the fire. So I turned them around and sent them down to cellar door, and about another 20 or 30 people followed them in who were coming down Steeles Creek Road who couldn't get out as well. So we were all here, about 50 of us, watching the fire coming. There were some interesting things happened at cellar door while there was 50 people here and the fire coming at us. People reacted in different ways, and some guy was panicking badly that he was going to be burned to death in the building, and I said, no, you'll be right, mate. If push comes to shove, we'll just walk down and jump into the dam. With that, a woman was crying hysterically on a mate's shoulder, and I said, Luff, don't worry about it, we'll be all right, don't worry. And she said, oh, how deep's the dam? And I very insensitively said, oh, deep enough to drown in. And that was a big worry. She was going to drown in the worst bushfire in Australian history. Then this other woman was, must have been from Collingwood, she was going off a tree. That we'd put the bull and a steer and all the sheep in the dam, and the bull was going to eat her. She was terrified that the bull was going to eat her. I assured her that the bull was vegetarian, and she'd be as right as rain. It was a big sook and it had run the other way. Then this other lady, I just couldn't believe it. I had to walk away. She said, I couldn't possibly walk through the paddock. I'd ruin my shoes. And she was serious. So I don't know whether they were fair dinkum people or whether they actually understood what was happening, or whether that was a reaction to the fear of the fire. But some of the stories from up the road are just outstanding. There's a little old lady who lives up there, and the fire was coming, and a little dog, a fox terrier, sensed it and forced her out of the house and pushed her down into the dam. And the dam was ringed with fire, and the helicopter went down and rescued her and pulled her out of the dam. And she's 92 years old, and she grabbed the little dog and got winched out of a dam. And that's what I want. I want to be 92 and winched out of a dam. That'll do. That's an ambition.
But not everybody was that fortunate.
One of the vineyards up the road, Roundstone, lost everything, lost their vines, lost their restaurant, cellar door, house. Everything just disintegrated. John said that the flames were about 200 feet high and just rolled over the hill like a tidal wave and crashed into the vineyard and just exploded. So they decided that moving out was a better option, and they took off. They were lucky. They got out through Pinnacle Lane with fire lapping at the sides of their car all the way. Other guys didn't get out. They weren't quite so lucky. They, friends of ours, very, very capable guy, manages three vineyards across the valley, built his own house, really a guy you'd want on your side in a fire. He and his wife perished in the house. They just didn't stand a chance. The radiant heat was something like 1600 degrees. So the house didn't survive. A double brick house just disintegrated. The tiles disintegrated. There's nothing left there to indicate that there actually was a house there. This fire burnt with the intensity of 1600 degrees. It burnt at a hotter temperature than a crematorium. The only way that they could determine that there was people actually in a residence was that if the ash was whiter in a certain spot than in other spots, there's a possibility that white ash could have been a person. And the other way that they determined that it was a person was if they'd had a hip replacement or a titanium pin. Well, they found that. But there's nothing left. There's no DNA, there's no teeth, there's no spine, there's no nothing. Gone. Finished. And that situation replicated itself all the way up Steeles Creek, which had at one stage 50 houses the day before the fire. Day after the fire, there was only 10 left.
And we'll be visiting the Yarra Valley again next week, when we'll find out exactly what the wine industry is doing to move ahead. Also coming up, we talk to the director of the new Kiwi film, The Strength of Water.